First, an editorial comment, and it's simply an opinion. Yesterday's newspaper had a full-page ad of a number of local churches listing their services for Christmas. And what caught my attention was the number of churches that don't have services on Christmas Day, that many of them have services only on Christmas Eve. And I understand the popularity of Christmas Eve services. But if we're not careful, Christmas is going to end up being simply a holiday rather than a holy day. And our whole thing gets shifted a bit. Here at St. Michael's, we're going to have two masses on Christmas Day, one at 8:30 in the morning, the other at 10, and then we have three masses the night before, one at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the evening, and then at 10 o'clock at night. Editorial ended. And I'm not going to tell you what mass to go to because I've been a pastor long enough to know you're going to ignore me anyway. It's not uncommon for TV shows and sequel movies to give a brief synopsis of what happened in a previous episode or at an earlier time. Movies like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and Harry Potter all have prequels, a movie about what happened at a much earlier event to give you background information. Today's gospel reading might need a bit of introductory information as well. Why, you might wonder, are the crowds asking John the Baptist, what should we do? As a follow-up to last Sunday's gospel, which introduced John as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, John confronts the crowd who's approaching to be baptized. In chapter 3 of Luke's gospel, verse 7, John calls the crowds a brood of vipers. Now, there's no way you can spin that into a positive message. And then he says to them, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" He continues to confront the crowds. "Produce good fruits as evidence of your repentance. And don't say to yourselves that we are Abraham's children, that he is our father. We're Israelites. We're God's chosen people." Don't play that card. Produce good fruits as evidence of your repentance. That's where today's gospel passage picks up. The crowds want to know what John demands as evidence. And there's something so simple about John's responses. To all, share. Share what you have with those who are in need. To the notorious tax collectors, John says, stop being greedy. Stop cheating people. And what about the Roman soldiers who are occupying the Holy Land? Well, you soldiers, stop practicing extortion. Stop blackmailing people. Stop your false accusations. And stop complaining about your wages. Imagine telling somebody to stop complaining about their wages. John the Baptist could get away with that. On this Advent Sunday, what do we need to do as evidence of our desire for repentance? Now, I suspect that some of us wouldn't even acknowledge a need for repentance. Others maybe have concluded there's no need for forgiveness because they haven't committed any sins. However, most of us are aware that we still need a Savior, someone mightier and more powerful and more holy than ourselves, who will fill us with the fire of God's Holy Spirit. On this third Sunday of Advent, God's Word invites us to rejoice, to be glad, because God is in our midst as a mighty Savior, accomplishing for us what we can accomplish for ourselves. The prophet tells us that we are to rejoice. God is stronger than any force of evil. And God is our source of encouragement whenever we might be fearful. We are to rejoice because God has the power to renew our lives and to rebuild us in His love. And He is attentive to our requests. We are to rejoice, St. Paul says, and dismiss anxiety from our minds, presenting our prayers to God. And he prays that the peace of God will guard our hearts and guard our minds. Dominican priest Father Thomas Petri has the following bits of advice posted on his Twitter page. You should be patient too, by the way. But on his Twitter page, he has, slow down, be present, be grateful. Slow down. Again, it's just my opinion. I suspect that most of the energy that goes into preparing to celebrate Christmas is energy that's coming from moms and grandmas and wives. You have permission to slow down if you need to slow down. And your families will learn how to deal with that. We need to slow down a bit and use some time to prepare ourselves spiritually for Christmas by prayer, perhaps by going to the sacrament of reconciliation, by mending a relationship. It's okay for moms and grandmas and wives to slow down and relax in jammies without feeling guilty. Be present to your family and to your friends. Visit someone you know who's in a hospital or nursing home. Unplug and understand that in so many situations, our presence is really gift enough. Be grateful, because getting more stuff probably isn't going to make you any happier. If we're not grateful, we're never going to be glad, regardless of how much we get. Gratitude and gladness go hand in hand. We are among those who have been baptized with water and fire in the Holy Spirit by one mightier than John the Baptist. And while we wait for him to come again, we also believe that he is present among us now. The same Holy Spirit who has sanctified us will sanctify our gifts of bread and wine and change them into Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate his birth in a little over a week. And while we wait, we believe that he is Emmanuel, God with us now. Now is the time to ask, what then should we do?